ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नष्ट प्राय स्वभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिकी। सो टुडे वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 1 कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 1 टेक्स्ट 67। मातरं पितरं भ्रातृन् सर्वांश्च सुहृदस्तथा घ्नन्ति हि असु त्रिपुलुब्धा राजनः प्रायशो भुवि। मातरम् ऑन टू द मदर, पितरम् ऑन टू द फादर, भ्रातृन् ऑन टू ब्रदर्स, सर्वांच एंड एनीवन एल्स, सुहृदः फ्रेंड्स तथा एज वेल एज, घ्नन्ति दे किल एज इट इज प्रैक्टिकली सीन, ही इंडीड असुत्रिपः, दोज हु एनवी द लाइव्स ऑफ अदर्स फॉर देयर पर्सनल सेंस ग्रैटिफिकेशन, लुब्धाः ग्रीडी राजानः सच किंग्स प्रायशः ऑलमोस्ट ऑलवेज भुवि ऑन द अर्थ। ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पट बाय डिवाइन ग्रेस प्रभुपाद की जय। किंग्स ग्रीडी फॉर सेंस ग्रैटिफिकेशन ऑन दिस अर्थ ऑलमोस्ट ऑलवेज किल देयर एनिमीज इनडिस्क्रिमिनेटली टू सेटिस्फाई देयर ओन हिम्स। दे मे किल एनी वन, इवन देयर मदर्स, फादर्स, ब्रदर्स और फ्रेंड्स। परपट, वी हैव सीन इन द हिस्ट्री ऑफ इंडिया दैट औरंगजेब किल्ड हिज ब्रदर एंड नेफ्यूज एंड इम्प्रिजन्ड हिज फादर टू फुलफिल पॉलिटिकल एम्बिशंस। देयर हैव बीन मेनी सिमिलर इंस्टेंसेस एंड कंसा वॉज द सेम टाइप ऑफ किंग। कंसा डिड नॉट हेसिटेट टू किल हिज नेफ्यूज एंड इम्प्रिजन हिज सिस्टर एंड हिज फादर। फॉर डीमंस टू डू सच थिंग्स इज नॉट एस्टोनिशिंग। नॉनदलेस, although Kansa was a demon, he was aware that Lord Vishnu cannot be killed and thus he attained salvation. Even partial understanding of the activities of Lord Vishnu makes one eligible for salvation. Kansa knew little about Krishna, that he could not be killed and therefore he attained salvation, although he thought of Vishnu, Krishna, as an enemy. What then is to be said of one who knows Krishna perfectly from the descriptions of Shastras like Bhagavad Gita? It is therefore the duty of everyone to read Bhagavad Gita and understand Krishna perfectly. This will make one's life successful. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshumlitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं। वन्देहं श्रीगुरु श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरुन् वैष्णवांश श्रीरूपं सागरजातं सहगणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश। हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधो जगतपते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमस्तुते। तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये। वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिन्धुवैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामीनिति नामिने। नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात देश तारिणे। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासदि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। कृष्णा सर, सीक द ब्लेसिंग्स ऑफ मच्योर्ड प्रभु एंड ऑल द सीनियर डिवोटीज। फीलिंग लिटिल एम्बैरस्ड टू स्पीक बट एनी ब्लेस। हरे कृष्णा। सो वी हैव दिस 10th कैंटो ऑफ श्रीमद् भागवतम गोइंग ऑन। So fortunate that in Vrindavan Dham we are hearing the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, which is like the lotus face of Krishna. So Srimad Bhagavatam is non-different from Krishna. And many times people want to jump to the 10th canto, but that is not proper. So Srila Prabhupada said we must start just like darshan. When we take darshan of Krishna, we start taking darshan from his lotus feet and then we gradually rise upwards. Similarly, the first canto and second canto of Bhagavatam are the two lotus feet of Krishna. And we begin reading from the first canto and gradually we come to third, fourth, and then in the end we come to the face of Krishna, 10th canto. So it's very beautiful canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. The beautiful pastimes of Krishna is mentioned. So actually this is whole, the whole first 9 cantos is meant to prepare us, prepare our consciousness in which we understand that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and we get free from all anarthas, and then we can actually appreciate 10th canto. Otherwise, like in Vrindavan, we have many so-called Bhagavat Saptas where they just jump to Krishna's pastimes. And people, they don't understand who is Krishna. They misunderstand. They feel that he is an ordinary boy, just having some pastimes with cowherd girls and so forth. So we are very fortunate that by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, we have got the right understanding. And we are systematically studying Srimad Bhagavatam from the first canto. And of course, 10th canto is the most special canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, where the most sweet pastimes of Krishna is mentioned. And this is the first chapter, the advent of Lord Krishna. And we are just ending this chapter. So in the last 1 or 2 days, we have heard this pastime that how Narada actually came and he instigated Kansa. Right? So I was attending the class day before yesterday. I think Radharaman Maharaj was making the comment that how can Narada do that? So that time, so the answer is that actually Narada is not at fault, because he is actually just, he wants Krishna to come quickly. So that is his intention. So in this end of this chapter, there is a big note by Srila Prabhupada, additional notes based on the commentary of Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur and others. So Srila Prabhupada clarifies the same thing, that it's not Narada Muni's fault. Actually he wanted to accelerate Krishna's appearance. It was Krishna's desire. So whenever pure devotees like Narada Muni, they do something, even though externally we may feel that it's not something desirable, but we should understand that whatever they do, it's the will of Krishna. We should never question the activities of pure devotees like Narada Muni. So yesterday's sloka, the last sloka before this, they said that when Narada told Kansa that you don't know that these demigods, they have a big conspiracy against you and they want to kill you, and Lord Vishnu has actually taken birth as the 8th son of Devaki, so be very careful and you know, so don't, so in that way instigated Kansa. And after that, Kansa actually, he, of course he was cruel by nature, and he became even more alert, and he actually wanted to kill all the children who were born, and he arrested Vasudev and Devaki and chained them with iron shackles, and because he suspected that any one of their children can kill him, because that's what Narada explained, that it's not the 8th child, actually anyone can kill. So with that logic, so Kansa became angry, because before this, when Vasudev brought the first son to Kansa, so he was kind of little merciful. He said, don't worry, 8th son will kill me, so you can take back the first child. But now after Narada Muni instigated him, So then he became very fearful. He said, no, anyone can kill me. So he arrested his own sister, Devaki and Vasudev. And not only that, he imprisoned his own father, Ugrasena. Right? So Srila Prabhupada in the purport gives the example of Aurangzeb. That those who are familiar with Indian history, you must be knowing that Aurangzeb was a very, very cruel emperor. He killed his own brothers. He imprisoned his own father, Shahjahan. Right? He's the famous one who built the Taj Mahal. In fact, he imprisoned him near the Taj Mahal. So imagine, Shahjahan, he built such a wonderful Taj Mahal. And for the last 8-10 years, he was in the prison next to that in Agra, looking at the Taj Mahal. And he died a very painful and horrible death. In one of the lectures also, Srila Prabhupada mentions about Shahjahan and what a difficult position he was in. That his own son, he imprisoned him. And almost last 8 or 10 years of his life, he was in the prison. And he died a very, very miserable death. And he killed all his brothers and nephews. So what we are reading in Bhagavatam is actually true. We can practically see that it's not that Kansa was there 5,000 years before. Even recent history, Aurangzeb was there 400 years back. And we have seen that he killed all his brothers, his father, he imprisoned his father just to get power, just to become the king. And it's continuing even now. So although in many countries this system of, you know, the kings may not be there, but whatever, the prime minister, president, just to occupy the post, they don't care about others. They trample on others, they sometimes kill others, and they do so many things just to fulfill political ambitions. So this is not something new. This has been always there. It was there thousands of years back and also currently going on. So Srila Prabhupada says that for demons to do such things is not astonishing. Right? So because that's their nature. Demons just want to gratify their own senses, want to enjoy, and for attaining the ambition, a demon can do anything, can go to any extent. Right? So now, and also something, let's discuss something about Kamsa also, that in the previous life, Kamsa was Kalnimi, which Narad Muni also told that you are Kalnimi in your last life, and Vishnu only killed you in your last life. So he got even more agitated. What? You know, he killed me in last life and even this life he wants to kill me? Because in last life, Kalnimi was a son of Hiranyaksha. And it is mentioned in the Puranas that how when this whole pastime of Mohini happened, when the demons, they didn't get the share of the nectar, then there was a war between demons and demigods. So Bali Maharaj was there. And the son of Hiranyaksha was Kalnimi. And he was also a very powerful demon. And Lord Vishnu personally killed him. So that is what Narad Muni told. You don't know, in your last life also, this Vishnu only killed you. So he is your enemy. So be very careful. So that agitated Kansa all the more. And he, Kalnimi, also had 6 sons, which he killed. And now in this pastime, the 6 sons of Devaki, so they will also be killed by Kalnimi. Actually, these 6 sons, Srila Prabhupada will mention in the second chapter in one of the purports, were actually the sons of Marichi, the son of Brahma. But he, actually the 6 sons of Marichi, they laughed at Brahma. When Brahma, somehow externally, it seemed that he was running after his daughter, so they laughed at him. So again, it's an important lesson that great personalities, even though they may do something which we may feel it's wrong, but we have no right to criticize them. So the 6 sons, they laughed at Brahmaji, and as a result, they were cursed to become demons. And so in the first, they became the 6 sons of Kalnimi, and then they became the 6 sons of Devaki. And Kamsa killed all of them one by one. And very interestingly, in the second chapter, in the 8th verse, Srila Prabhupada quotes Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and says that these 8 sons are actually... the 6 sons are actually the 6 anarthas that we have. Kama, Krodha, Lobha, Moha, Mada, Matsarya. Lust, anger, greed, illusion, madness and envy. So it's a very important lesson. Srila Prabhupada is saying that actually this Kamsa is material fear. So he is saying that a devotee, a pure devotee, should always fear material association. Symbolically, Mother Devaki's constant fear of Kamsa was purifying her. A pure devotee should always fear material association. And in this way, all the asuras of material association will be killed, as the third garbhasuras were killed by Kamsa. It is said that from the mind Marichi appears. In other words, Marichi is an incarnation of the mind. Marichi has six sons: Kama, Krodha, Lobha, Moha, Mada and Matsarya. The Supreme Personality of Godhead appears in pure devotional service. This is confirmed in the Vedas. Bhaktir evenam darshayati. Only bhakti can bring one in contact with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared from the womb of Devaki, and therefore Devaki symbolically represents bhakti and Kamsa symbolically represents material fear. When a pure devotee always fears material association, his real position of bhakti is manifested and he naturally becomes uninterested in material enjoyment. So it's very important that a devotee fears material association, and that actually purifies him. Because sometimes as devotees we tend to be fear Maya enough, right? But here Prabhupada is saying we should actually fear material association, and then only the anarthas will be killed. Just like when Devaki was fearing Kamsa and her six sons were killed, similarly when we fear material association, then our anarthas will be killed. And the six sons of Marichi are killed by such fear, and one is freed from material contamination. Within the womb of bhakti, the Supreme Personality of Godhead appears. That the seventh pregnancy of Devaki signifies the appearance of Supreme Personality of Godhead. So once the six anarthas are killed, then Krishna Balaram will appear. So just now the altar is opened, right? So only when the six anarthas are killed, then Krishna and Balaram will appear. So first Balaramji appeared in the womb of Devaki, and then Krishna appeared. So this is something very important purport that Prabhupada explains, that Kamsa actually represents material fear, and we should all be fearful of material existence. Another point that we can actually contemplate, that sometimes we feel that demons, well, I am not a demon, right? But we all have this demoniac tendency. It is said that in Satya Yuga, demons and demigods, they lived in different planets. But in Treta Yuga, in the same planet, but different areas, Ravana had his own Lanka and Lord Ram in Ayodhya. In Dwapar Yuga, in the same city, but different people, like we had Pandavas and Duryodhan and Kauravas, demons and demigods. But in Kali Yuga, it is said in the same body, we have both demoniac as well as divine qualities. So demons and demigods reside in the same body. So everybody is more or less a demon in this Kali Yuga. Vishla Prabhupada also mentions two purport before this verse, that Lord Chaitanya therefore came not to kill the demons, because if Krishna were to kill all the demons, then everybody will be killed in Kali Yuga. So therefore Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he came to kill the demoniac tendency within us. Right? When Mahaprabhu wanted to kill Jagai Madhai, so Nitanpu pleaded him that, oh my Lord, in this incarnation you are not meant to kill the demons, but you are meant to kill the demoniac propensity within us. Because everybody has demoniac potency. What is demoniac tendency? Which we see here, like Kamsa was having. We are ready to do anything to fulfill our own personal motivations, to get power, to get money, to get prestige. Demon is always, in the 16th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, a long list is given about this demoniac qualities, right? So only first three verses Krishna talks about divine qualities, and then remaining almost 10-15 verses Krishna talks about the demoniac qualities. He says pride, arrogance, conceit, anger, harshness, ignorance. These are all qualities of people belonging to demoniac nature or son of Pritha. And he goes on explaining that they don't know what is to be done, what is not to be done. They are not clean. They are not truthful. They say that the world is unreal. Right? So they do horrible work. They are taking shelter of insatiable lust and absorbed in conceit of pride and false prestige. The demoniac, thus illusioned, are always sworn to unclean work, attracted by impermanent. So the long list of qualities which are demoniac. And actually, if you introspect, at least when I see myself, I have so many such qualities, demoniac qualities. So what to do? This conserve within us. So when we read this pastimes, it's not that Kansa was someone who was there 5,000 years back and Krishna killed. No, Kansa is right there within me. Right? I am also a tiny Kansa. So what's the solution? So the solution is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. That's the only solution. That can actually kill the Kansa within us. So Mahaprabhu is so merciful that the same Kamsa, it is said in Mahaprabhu's pastime, he came as, anyone can say, Kamsa appeared as Chankazi. Yes, Kamsa appeared as Chankazi. So therefore Mahaprabhu actually calls him Mama, Kans Mama, uncle. So even in that pastime, so Chankazi is the uncle of Mahaprabhu. Although not directly, but there is some connection, because Nilambar Chakravarti, who was the grandfather of Mahaprabhu, he and Chankazi belong to the same village, right, Manish? And somehow, so in that sense, he was actually kind of uncle of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So when this whole beautiful pastime of Chankazi happened, right, we know this beautiful pastime of Chankazi's deliverance. Srila Prabhupada says the first civil disobedience movement. We have heard of civil disobedience movement in Indian history, Mahatma Gandhi and others, even Martin Luther King, right? He also did in America civil disobedience. But Srila Prabhupada says 500 years back this started. Mahaprabhu is the first one who started this civil disobedience movement. Because when Chankazi broke the Mridanga, so it's not that Mahaprabhu just sat quietly, oh, Trinadapi Sunishena, I should, no problem, you know, let him destroy the Mridanga. No, when required, a devotee becomes angry and he takes the necessary steps. So Mahaprabhu immediately, he organized, he told everyone that what, this Chankazi has broken the Mridanga, we will show to him, you know. So he ordered all the devotees that today evening, everybody should gather for Sankirtan. We'll have a Maha Sankirtan. And everybody was so excited, because before this, Mahaprabhu did Kirtan only inside the house of Srivas Pandit, right, in Srivas Angan. And outsiders were not allowed. So many devotees, many pious people, they wanted to see the Kirtan of Mahaprabhu, but they could never see the Kirtan because nobody was allowed in the house of Srivas Pandit. But when everybody heard that today, Nimai, today Mahaprabhu will do Kirtan in the streets of Navdeep, they were so excited. And it was a great celebration, and everybody decorated their houses wonderfully. And in the evening, they all gathered and they all carried, torches, you know, mashal they call, hand torches, because in those days there was no light electricity. So they all carried torches made of cloth and oil. So a container of oil and this torch, handmade torch. And millions, this beautiful description in Chaitanya Bhagavat, that how millions of devotees gathered in the evening for this beautiful Sankirtan. And Mahaprabhu started his Sankirtan, and he organized the party nicely, Haridas Thakur and Advaitacharya. So he made nice arrangements that the different Kirtan parties. And in the end, Mahaprabhu himself was there. And guess who else was there with Mahaprabhu? Nityananda Prabhu, right? So God Nitai, for the first time, they actually danced in the public, right? So in the Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu, they danced, and there was a wonderful Sankirtan procession. Just try to imagine this scene, you know, millions of devotees in Navdeep holding torches in their hand. It's evening time and everybody is loudly chanting. Such a tumultuous Kirtan, huge Kirtan, millions of devotees chanting together, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And it is said that devotees were clapping also. So one may question that they are holding torch in one hand, they are holding oil in the other, how they are clapping? So Vrindavan Dasavi explains that actually they all got four hands. So Vaikuntha descended in Navdeep, and all the devotees of Navdeep, they actually became four-handed. And they didn't even realize that I have got four hands. So devotees were clapping and they were holding torch and they were dancing, and it was such a huge Sankirtan procession, that such a wonderful Kirtan procession. And they all went to Chankazi's house, and Chankazi was terrified actually when he heard that millions of devotees are coming with such loud sankirtan. And when they actually approach Chand Kazi's house, some of the people, they started shouting, "Kill the Kazi, burn the Kazi's house." So, and when the soldiers of Chand Kazi heard that, they were very angry, they were very afraid, immediately went and informed Kazi. This is what they are saying. Mahaprabhu Nimai has come with millions of people and they are shouting, "Kill the Kazi and burn his palace." And so Chand Kazi got very much frightened. So he was inside his house, he locked himself and he sent a message through someone, one of his messengers, that please go and tell Nimai that I want to meet him. So when Mahaprabhu reached there, so one of his messengers, he told Nimai that Chand Kazi wants to meet you. So then Mahaprabhu, but Chand Kazi said, "I want to meet you alone." Mahaprabhu said, "Don't worry." He just took few of his devotees with him and he went to meet Chand Kazi. And that time actually Chand Kazi says that, "I am your uncle, I am your mama," right? So Mahaprabhu then has very nice conversation with him. And he talks about, Mahaprabhu challenges him that, "Why do you kill cows?" Then Chand Kazi says that in Vedas also there is mention of sacrifices and killing of cows. Then Mahaprabhu explains to him that no, in the Vedas when this animal sacrifice, the animal gets a new life, he is rejuvenated. It's never meant to kill an animal, but it's a test of the Vedic mantras. In this way there is a nice conversation between Chand Kazi and Mahaprabhu. And then Chand Kazi tells him something confidential. He said, "I'll tell you something very secret." He said, "You know what happened last night when I broke the mridanga? So in the night I had a dream, and a very fearsome personality, half man and half lion, and he appeared in my dream and he sat on my chest and he was so angry, he shouted at me. He said, 'Never dare to create any obstacle in the movement of Mahaprabhu in Sankirtan. How dare you break the mridanga?' And actually he was about to tear my heart. I still have the signs, and actually showed the signs of the nails of Lord Narsingadev. And that personality told me that today I am sparing your life, but in future if you ever try to obstruct the movement of Mahaprabhu, I'll tear you into pieces." And Mahaprabhu started smiling when he heard this, because he could understand that this personality was Sri Narsingadev. So this is another beautiful pastime where we see that how Narsingadev protects devotees. He is the protector of Sankirtan movement. So we have seen that whenever devotees are in trouble, they take shelter of Narsingadev. Narsingadev always protects them. In Mayapur also there were so many difficulties, but once Narsingadev appeared there, so after that all the troubles went away. So this Chand Kazi pastime. And then after that, actually Chand Kazi became a devotee. And he promised that henceforth, nobody in my dynasty will ever try to stop the Sankirtan movement of Mahaprabhu. And he said that even now, the descendants of Chand Kazi, they are always respectful to the Vaishnavas. And therefore, in the honor of Chand Kazi, there is a samadhi. I am sure all of you, those who have gone to Mayapur, you must have visited the tomb of Chand Kazi, where Vaishnavas go and pay obeisance to Chand Kazi. And there is a beautiful tree there, champak tree and a neem tree, where devotees go and pay obeisances. So this, just when I was thinking what to speak, this pastime came to my mind, because same Kamsa, we see he was so cruel, and he imprisoned his own father and became the king, and he wanted to kill his own sister Devaki, and he killed so many young children. He was so cruel, and all his associates were all great asuras, starting from Narkasur, Banasur, Aghasur, Bakasur, all these great asuras. He was such a cruel person. But the same Kamsa, of course, in Krishna Leela, he became purified because of thinking of Krishna. Prabhupada mentioned this verse, in this purport, that Kamsa was always thinking of Krishna, but not in a favorable way. He was thinking of Krishna with an inimical feeling, but still he was getting some benefit. Still he was getting, that is the power of remembering Krishna. That even if one remembers Krishna with enmity, still remembrance of Krishna is so powerful that person gets liberation. So Kansa actually he merged, in the body of Krishna. That's what it is said in that in Krishna Leela. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is even more merciful than Krishna. So he actually wanted to give Krishna Prem even to Kamsa. Same Jagai Madhai, they were Jay and Vijay. So Jay Vijay came as Jagai Madhai and Kamsa came as Chand Kasi. And Mahaprabhu delivered the same Kamsa and gave him Krishna Prem. So this is the causeless mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And sometimes, you know, as years pass by, we kind of don't think so much about it. But if you just contemplate that how merciful is Lord Chaitanya, as Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami says, that Shri Krishna Chaitanya Daya Karah Vichar, Vichar Karile Pabe Chitte Chamatkar. Just contemplate on the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and our hearts will, you know, will be astounded, astonished that how merciful is Lord Chaitanya. What I have heard that Srila Prabhupada, Vishuddha Kirti Prabhu may be knowing better, that Prabhupada two times, I think he, before Bhagavatam class, instead of Radha Madhav, he chanted Param Karuna Pahadvijana Nitai Gaurachandra. One was in Atlanta and other is Venezuela, or which was the other place. I don't know, whatever I have heard from disciples, that twice Srila Prabhupada, usually he chanted Jai Radha Madhav before Bhagavatam class. But on two occasions, when he actually saw Gaur-Nitai deities and he saw that how so many Westerners were becoming devotees, so Srila Prabhupada could appreciate the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu, and he chanted this beautiful song by Lochandas Thakur, Param Karuna Pahudvijana Nitai Gaurachandra Sabavatara Sarasiramani Keval Ananda Kanda. So Srila Prabhupada chanted this bhajan and he started crying actually, just realizing the mercy of Gaur Nitai, and he could not speak. I think that lecture in Atlanta, it's just 1 or 2 minutes. You know, Srila Prabhupada could not. He just said that how merciful is Gaur Nitai. How merciful are Lord Chaitanya Nityananda. So they have come to deliver all of us. So this mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is something very astounding. So although we may have demoniac qualities, so many bad qualities, but if you just stick to the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, stick to his lotus feet, and take this process of chanting Hare Krishna very seriously, and try to avoid offenses, then surely, by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all the demoniac tendencies in our heart will be vanquished. So, because even in society of devotees, sometimes we see this Kamsa mentality, that we don't care for others, we are just after our own selfish motivations, our own projects. It just happens, we do make mistakes, you know. What is Kamsa mentality? Cruelty or envy. But opposite of that is to be soft-hearted. Like devotee should always be, a Vaishnava is always para-dukha-dukhi. He is always soft-hearted, he always feels sad to see others, devotees in difficulty. So, but unfortunately, many of us, we don't have that qualities of devotees, qualities of Vaishnava, para-dukha-dukhi. Rather, it's opposite. Para-dukha-sukhi, we become happy to see others in distress. And when we see others prospering or others doing well, we become envious of them. Is there in us this tendency of Kamsa, this demoniac tendency? So, sometimes it's depressing that, oh, I have been practicing for so many years, still it's not going away. But our only hope is mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu coming to Srila Prabhupada and his devotees. And if we just stick to this process of Krishna consciousness and do it seriously, like chanting of Hare Krishna Mahamantra, try to be as attentive and as sincere as possible, trying to render the services, trying to avoid offenses, then surely we'll also be blessed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. And his mercy is very powerful. So all our demonic tendencies can be finished by the mercy of Mahaprabhu, and this Kamsa mentality within us will be vanquished. So therefore, let us all take shelter of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy and follow the instructions as given by Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. So this is some of my thoughts. Any questions, comments? Yes, Prabhuji.
Kamsa, then so much suffering was there. I mean, they very merciful, but because of what he's saying, comes to slaughtering all these children and slaughtering so many people. And isn't someone who's encouraging someone to do sinful activities also implicated in some way?
Yeah, it's the same point Prabhupada is mentioning, that if Narad Muni is a devotee, how could he cause so much suffering to others? But you see that ultimately it caused so much of benefit to everyone. When Krishna appeared, so everybody was delivered. Like in the battlefield of Kurukshetra also, all those who died actually went back to Vaikuntha. It is said that just by having darshan of Krishna, they went back to Godhead. So Yudhishthira was actually an instrument in Krishna's plan. Krishna wanted to deliver everyone. That is why the Mahabharata battle happened. Similarly, when Krishna came here, so many millions were delivered just by having darshan of Krishna. So that was ultimate benefit for everyone. So for greater cause, sometimes, you know, smaller price has to be paid. So whatever little violence happened, but that was for a greater cause. Narada wanted Krishna to come, which is the ultimate beneficial thing for everyone. That is my understanding. Hare Krishna. Yes.
As you already mentioned, that's the point that I want to elaborate a little more. Like, there is a constant seesaw of exhibiting different qualities. Sometimes we are divine, sometimes we are demonic. And it shakes our faith. One of us are not. Are we doing it right or are we doing it?
Can you please repeat, Pooja? I just missed.
Yeah, we are in a constant seesaw of exhibiting different qualities.
Right.
Sometimes we are divine, sometimes we are very demonic. And it shakes our faith sometimes on sadhana. Services we are doing right or wrong? Is there a problem being doing what has to be done? So how do we concentrate in one's devotional practice at the same time? You know, even if we are sometimes demonic, it should not affect us. It should be.
Yeah, it's a good question. That sometimes you feel little depressed, that you know, sometimes we're taken over by demonic qualities and sometimes have good qualities. So that is why we must realize that. Have still a long way to go. So we are in the path of perfection. It'll take some time. And imagine we have been in this material world for time immemorial, right? So many billions of births. So we have been harboring all these demonic qualities for so long. So it'll take some time for the qualities to go. But if you take this process very seriously, sincerely, and don't commit offenses, and we read Srila Prabhupada books, chant Hare Krishna sincerely, definitely these qualities will decrease. And you can see also yourself that definitely has increased. The very point that actually earlier we never even realized that we had demonic qualities. So the good thing is that as we advance, at least we have to recognize that we have certain demonic qualities. You ask anyone in this world, I mean, they will say that I am the best, right? The very point that you are recognizing that you have some demonic qualities, that means that you are progressing. So, and we just continue with that, and surely all these qualities will go down. Yes, please. It's a little tricky thing that blind following is not encouraged, but when it comes to personalities like Lord Brahma, in that case we should be very careful. Like Chitraketu, when Lord Shiva was speaking to the sages and keeping Parvati on his lap, so Chitraketu also kindly, you know, not kindly in the sense, in a joking way, he also criticized Lord Shiva, but he had to pay heavy price. He became Vritrasura in his next life. So when it comes to great personalities like Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, so that time you should be careful. You must understand that they are not ordinary people. So greatly empowered Acharyas like Srila Prabhupada, we should be very careful that before seeing any, we should never see faults in those personalities. But comes to regular, like people in devotees in general, still we should try to avoid seeing bad qualities. But yes, we cannot be blind. So when we see some devotees having certain difficulties, we respect them mentally. But just like Nectar of Instruction, we read that verse, that different devotees, how to deal with them. So we can just be respectful, but not associate with them closely. But we should take association of those who are good in their conduct and who are free from envy and other bad qualities. Hare Krishna. Yes.
Like I asked this question from Vaishnava Maharaj, like I spoke up in the last lines, Prabhupada write, that concern with little about Krishna, that he could not be killed. And therefore he had been salvation, although he had thought of Krishna. And then Prabhupada continued says, what to say of one who knows Krishna perfectly from the scripture of Shastra like Prabhupada?
Yes. Yeah, the symptoms, yeah. Yeah, so symptoms is very clear. The purpose is that our material desire should subside and our desire to serve Krishna should increase. So that's a sign of progressing in Krishna consciousness, that viraktir anyatrasha, that as we advance in Krishna consciousness, we must develop natural renunciation for this world, vairagya, virakti. So that's a sign that actually if I am progressing, then detachment should develop. And when it is said that knowing Krishna properly, so we should not think that we have understood Krishna. So knowing Krishna properly also doesn't happen in one day. So this also requires some purification to understand Krishna in tattva. Therefore it says, janma karma chame divyam evam yoviti tattvata. So to realize Krishna in tattva, in truth, is also not easy. So it requires a lot of purification and understanding of scriptures and chanting Hare Krishna. Then actually we can understand, come to this point. But the point Prabhupada is mentioning is the encouraging point, that just see the power of thinking of Krishna. That although Kamsa, he thought of Krishna in an inimical way, even he received salvation. So what to speak of devotees who think of Krishna in a favorable way? Because bhakti is thinking of Krishna in a favorable way. Anya bhilashita shunyam jnana karmadhyana vritam anukulyena krishnanu shilanam bhakti ruttama, an act of devotion. So he did a course bhakti shastri, so that he himself studied this verse, that how bhakti means to be free from ulterior motives and desire to please Krishna. So thinking of Krishna in a favorable way, that is bhakti, and thinking of Krishna in an unfavorable way is not bhakti, like Kamsa. But still the power of thinking of Krishna is so immense that still they get benefit. So it's an encouraging thing that, so we should think of Krishna in a favorable way. Just like Putna's pastime, it is said that one who tried to poison Putna, if she could get salvation, what to speak of those who want to serve Krishna. So these are all encouraging things, encouraging pastimes. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. So actually there is no problem, it doesn't matter so much, because Radha and Krishna ultimately are one. Radha Krishna Pranay Vrikati Ladini Shakti Rashmat. So Radha and Krishna are one. So there is no problem if you approach Radharani first or Krishna first. And Srila Prabhupada also mentions in some purports that in Vrindavan, devotees they say Jai Radhe. So there is no harm in, especially in Vrindavan, when we should take first shelter of Radharani. There is no harm in that. Actually it is recommended because Radharani is Vrindavaneshwari. So we approach Krishna to Radharani. That's our understanding. That is what Srila Prabhupada has taught us. But even if someone approaches Krishna directly, it doesn't matter so much. But the actual system is, we approach Krishna through his devotees. And Radharani is the best devotee of Krishna. So therefore, we must approach Krishna through Radharani. That's the correct understanding. Yeah.
Can we compare Radharani and
Human beings means? Oh no, of course not. I mean, that's...
So that's
what I was thinking about. How can... That's pure Mahavad. How can a person compare himself to Radha or Krishna? That's bogus philosophy. Yeah. Hare Krishna. Yes. So it's a comment, right? Okay. So thank you all very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.